A secret that only the locals know about. Today on Off Track. I'm in Hobart, literally a couple of kilometres away from the centre of town. There's betong poo on the lawn and the trees are heaving with birds. This week on RN, Off Track is letting you in on a local's secret. The Waterworks Reserve. The name doesn't really do it justice. That sneezing sort of sound was a yellow wattle bird, one of the endemic birds that you'll only find in Tasmania, and you can see them here around the waterworks. I'm Anne Jones, and last week we were here in the hills above Hobart listening to historian Bernard Lloyd telling us some of the history of the waterworks. Sir Henry Edward Fox Young, the governor of Tasmania at the time, gave a speech when the Waterworks Foundation stone was laid in the 19th century, and Bernard recounted some of it for us.
Water is a gift of heaven, and the water's blessings will be to rich and poor alike, supplying baths, washhouses, and fountains. He said the clear, pure, cool, invigorating, unpolluted waters, which these waterworks are designed to protect, should be approached through and be surrounded by a plantation of every natural object of beauty. Trees, shrubs, flowers and green grass, all suggesting, by their visible vegetation, the higher and more enduring life of man, which, like water, springs from earth but has its origin in heaven. To which there was polite applause.
Two dams were built here, surrounded by trees and lawn areas and walking tracks, giving access to nature, and the people absolutely loved it.
People would often go up there, like we go to the beach today for recreation. In those days, they went to the mountain, and you can sometimes see in the newspapers of the day a full-page photograph, and it's of a fern glade. Now, the heart of this, the jewel of this, was a place called the Bower, where there were very tall man ferns, some of them up to 5 metres high. And Hobartian people loved them. But then, due to engineering again, the pipeline had to be realigned and the Bower was going to be destroyed. Well, there was, if you think greenies come in the late 20th century, you're wrong. In the early 20th century, there was fury that this place of wonder would be destroyed. And in the end, it was severely damaged by the alignment of the pipes. They put a few pot plants up to try and mollify public opinion. It didn't work. And so you might also draw this bow that the love of water led to those people who protested against the flooding of Lake Pedder, who protested against the interruption of the Franklin River and then the Tamar River and its pulp mill. All these are environmental issues which led to the formation of the world's first Green Party in Tasmania, the United Tasmania Group, in the 1970s.
Bernard Lloyd. There is no doubt that this is a special place. And I have to say that a whole other magic reveals itself at night.
I think it's just incredible that we can come here just around the corner from the city and see so many of this animal, these beautiful paddy melons that exist nowhere else in the world apart from this one island. It's really quite amazing being here in Hobart and having this bushland so close.
Jess Fuller-Smith is a bushland interpretation officer with the City of Hobart Council.
We're out at Waterworks Reserve at the moment, so we're just outside Hobart City, just beyond the suburbs, but we're in amongst an area of bushland that connects all the way up to the top of Mount Wellington.
Which we can see.
Absolutely. We've got a beautiful view at the moment. The sunset's just coming in, but we can see right up to the summit. It's a beautiful evening, actually.
Now, for people who've never been to Hobart or seen a picture, it's actually a pretty special mountain. It's got this whole sheer sort of rock face section, doesn't it? It's not just a hill.
Absolutely, yeah. So we can look up from here, actually, and see a little bit of the Organ Pipes, which is an amazing rock formation down the front, really good rock climbing. And, Quinyani, Mount Wellington is a gorgeous spot to go exploring, and a lot of the animals that we might see out and about tonight probably move up through the bushland up towards the mountain as well. so it's still fairly light, but we've got a bit of a chorus of animals that we can hear at the moment, so they're giving us a clue that it's going to get dark soon and the other animals will be coming out. I just saw a little bird go heading across the water here, so we're standing in front of one of the reservoirs here at Waterworks Reserve, and we can see a few ducks out on the water. We can obviously hear lots of frogs calling out to us as well.
I think those frogs are actually super enjoying one of the design features of the reservoir, which is apparently this overflow section that goes all the way along both edges of both the upper and the lower reservoir in case it floods.
And we'll follow along the edge of that reservoir, so we'll continue to hear them for a little while yet. So even though we're just outside the city, we've got incredible mammal diversity, incredible bird diversity, right down to lots of different invertebrates, and we'll keep an eye out for little green eye shines of spiders and other bits and pieces, as well as just the possums and the bigger animals that we might see here tonight.
And what do you put that down to?
So I think we've got an incredible corridor of bushland out the back of Hobart, which connects right up to Kunyani, Mount Wellington, with lots of different vegetation types, and also bushland that extends along beside the city and out past the suburbs. So it's actually a really big area and has some really nice corridors to allow different habitat for different animals and the opportunity for quite a few animals to move between those different habitats and around this area.
I can see you eyeing off this little rock wall that we're going past. What are you looking for?
I was actually looking just above it at some of the nice fresh poos that have been deposited for us to give us an idea of what animals have been around.
That is a true mark, I think, of a nature lover is someone who observes scats
absolutely
closely.
Absolutely, scatologist through and through.
What can you see?
Sure. So what can we see here? Let's take a little bit of a closer look. So we've probably got some paddy melon scats here. So that's our smaller wallaby that we have here in Hobart. So there's two types of wallabies that we have here. We've got the paddy melons and also the Bennett's wallabies.
What would I be looking for if I was looking at a Bennett's wallaby?
So the Bennett's look a little bit more like a small kangaroo. So they're a bit lighter, they're a bit leaner, and they're a little bit bigger. I find, though, the best way to tell the difference is if you find their scats, because the paddy melons do these long cigar-shaped scats, whereas the Bennett's wallabies have round ones, so really nice and distinct if you manage to find fresh scats. So we don't actually have any kangaroos down around Hobart. We've got one species of kangaroo in Tassie, the eastern grey, but it's not down around here. So we'd just be seeing Bennett's wallabies or paddy melons. Right here in between the barbecue and the table. You can see a little black spot there. It's just popped its head up.
Much darker than I expected.
Yeah.
So I was looking for grey.
Ah, sure. So we've got two wallabies that we'll be seeing here, and that one there is the paddy melon, and that usually is a bit darker, a bit fatter, and a bit smaller. So definitely a paddy melon that we've got there.
Doing gorgeous little kangaroo type thing. He's nibbling, so he's leaning forward with the tail counterbalancing out the back with his teeth right down to get that nice, fresh, new, sweet grass. Now, it's hard to pick out because the dark is quickly descending, and I'm trying to look to see if there's something hanging out of a pouch. Whether that's just a leg that's making an extra shadow.
I can see that extra shadow that you can see, Anne, as well. Yeah. I think, we can get the torch out and have a little bit of a closer look to see if we can spot any more details. Oh, it is. We're looking at a beautiful joey. We can see the eye shine of both the mum and the joey there facing us now.
It's quite a substantial joey. There's a head and various legs hanging out.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's really nice. Actually, we've now got the torch onto these animals, so we've got a red filter over it, so the torch won't be disturbing their behaviour, but it allows us to see their eye shine really clearly, so that allows us to really see that, yes, that is a joey there and not just some strange extra leg.
And the joey is actually taking a keen interest in its environment. It's probably looking at those plovers, perhaps, that are making a racket in the background.
Very active, very inquisitive.
They're quite small, like that's probably small enough that a large feral cat could take it.
Yeah, that's right. And we've actually started doing a bit of a wildlife monitoring program here and in some of the reserves around Hobart. So we've been putting out wildlife cameras, and we've definitely been getting images of feral cats and also dogs coming in through these reserves.
That's a bit of a worry, especially when there's quolls wandering around, you know, probably countless marsupials and mammals around these parts.
Absolutely, and as well as the paddy melons, we've got bettongs, which are smaller again. We've got eastern barred bandicoots, southern brown bandicoots. So we've got some really small mammals, ground-dwelling mammals here in Hobart, and feral cats are a major problem for them, dogs as well. But one thing that we're really lucky with in Tassie is that we don't have an established fox population, and that's one of the reasons why our bandicoots and our small mammals and some of our ground-dwelling birds as well are still doing really well.
Do you know what the lifespan of a paddy melon is?
I don't.
Great question.
They're really cute.
Yeah, they are. They're so cute, aren't they? Yeah. Yeah, I'm not too sure. I've got a great book in my bag here. I've got Dave Watt's Guide to Tasmanian Mammals, so it might tell us a little bit more. And I've got my favourite book as well, Track Scats and Other Traces.
Classic.
To identify any of those mystery poos we might come across.
Absolute classic. Is that Joey actually nibbling the grass by just leaning out of the pouch?
I feel it might be. I feel like we're getting quite a show here at the moment. It's quite spectacular. We can see Mum having a little nibble and then Joey having a little nibble as well. And for people around Hobart that spend a bit of time in the bush or even just live near the bush and have some nice lawns, then paddy melons are just everywhere. You just think, oh, paddy melons, they're nothing special. But Tasmania is the only place in the whole entire world that they live. So we're really lucky to have animals like this here.
So do you have to, you know, mow your lawns?
Oh, if you're close enough to the bush, then no. You just maybe have to clear off the poos every so often when you're having visitors around.
On RN, this is Off Track. I'm Anne Jones, and each week I try to take you somewhere that you've never ever been, be that literally or figuratively. And today, or should I say tonight, we're in Hobart in Tasmania, in one of the local people's secrets. They didn't really want me to make this program because it's so good here. This is the Waterworks Reserve. There are two reservoirs surrounded by steep hills. Night is falling, and Jess Fuller-Smith has her torch out.
No, okay, so second weird behaviour after scat spotting of the night, you're actually pointing your torch at the bottom at the bottom of bins. What are you looking for?
That's right, so we've come along to a site that is really popular for possums. And so often when I come along here, particularly if it's of a morning, there is lots of fresh possum scats along behind, below these bins. But there isn't any at the moment, so there'll probably be some more fresh ones in the morning. There's a bird making an absolute racket along here. I think we should go a little bit closer and see if we can work out what it might be.
I think it's a Tasmanian native hen, only found here in Tasmania, and there's a lot of them here at the waterworks. The locals call them turbo chooks because they run around quickly instead of flying.
Now, I've just spotted on top of this bin here, and it's just ducked behind.
Oh no!
A cat. So we've just spotted next to one of these rubbish bins a cat. No idea whether it might be a feral cat or a domestic cat, and that's one thing about bushland being so close to suburbia, that there probably are plenty of domestic cats that find their way into these reserves.
I doubt we'll be spotting that cat again, they're so crafty.
Absolutely.
And as we walk along in the reserve, even though it's now quite dark, there are other people out observing the nocturnal wildlife. We literally run into Tony Conlon, a local wildlife tour operator, and it turns out that he's up here trying to get a glimpse of an endangered bird, the masked owl.
And there happens to be a pair that have this area as their territory, and they bred here last year, and we're optimistic they'll do the same this year, but it's a bit early to tell yet.
So what would you look out for if you were looking for a masked owl?
You'd be incredibly lucky to see one. Mostly because they're quite, like all owls, is silent, you won't hear them. And usually you'd find at a roost site, which would be a very large old growth tree, around the base of the roost site you'd find pellets. And now the pellets are something that the owls actually cough up, and in those pellets are the remains of what they're eating, so bone shards, feathers. When we've looked at them, we've found antechinus skulls, mouse skulls, some frogs, bandicoots, springtail possums, bat wings. They're quite eclectic hunters, so they hunt a lot of prey across a fairly broad range. They even, females being bigger in the musk owl species, will hunt larger prey, and they've been known to take things as large as brush possums and stuff like that. But that's not common, but they do it.
So have you actually spotted that owl with your own two eyes?
Yeah.
You are a lucky man.
We spend a lot of time out here, so we should see them. It's a call that really lets you know what's around, particularly with masked owls. They have a fairly harsh call. It's quite distinctive, but some people might confuse it with a brush possum.
Yeah, because a brush possum will let out a quite a aggressive hissing sort of soundish. It's not a cat hiss, it's different.
Yeah.
It's like a little bit more of a lisp, don't they?
They do.
So similar to that, but a little bit harsher, do you think?
Yeah, I'll try to
do
it. And it's sort of like the female's deeper than the male's, unlike perhaps humans. So it's like a shh, and it's roughly like that. So if you hear that repeated several times from a spot, it's fairly probable it's a masked owl.
Now,
and it's worth investigating, but...
Am I right in saying that this masked owl pair is causing a little bit of consternation in the local birding community because it causes a divide of who's seen it and who hasn't?
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, look, it could do. They're pretty distinctive when you see them.
You've got to be lucky, though.
You do, but it's like you make your own luck. And I suppose once you know where to look and when, and tonight's perfect because it's a very mild night, and the milder the temperature and the less wind... the higher the probability of seeing one, and particularly hearing one. When it's cold and windy, like most things, they don't like it, so they're not out, because that just is not the right conditions to be in. Plus, the territory, and this is the heart here of their territory, can be as up to 1,500 hectares. Now, they can be as small as 500, and it's like all territories, it depends on availability of prey and nest sites. So this one's sort of an average one of about 1,200 as far as we can gather. Sort of into the suburbs of Hobart, up as far as Ridgeway, down towards us at Mount Nelson, there's another pair over there. But they won't go above about 600 metres because they're a temperate species, so you won't get them at altitude, and they don't like the really cold areas, so which pretty much is altitude. So east coast, through the lowlands, you know, that's where you find masked owls, because it's a great spot in Hobart's backyard. We're lucky, as you know, here in Tassie to have such terrific spots really close by. Hopefully it'll be retained as it is, because there's only one really good roost site here, which they're currently using. There's other trees with hollows, but they're too small. In the case of masked owls, they need a large hollow, and it must be at least a metre deep. If it's not a metre deep, they won't use it. So specific requirements, so they're pretty choosy. So they might have to fly another 30 k's to find a similar tree. And then that'd probably be occupied, so they really need to keep this one. It seems to be pretty stable at the moment, and it's not endangered, and it's not likely to be cut down soon, so that'll be good.
The masked owl isn't the only nocturnal bird that calls the waterworks home.
You may, and usually do, hear Boobook owls call. There's a lot of tawny frogmouths here. You may hear them call. They don't call that often, but when they do, do you know the call of the bronze-winged pigeon during the day? Their call's very similar, but a little bit quicker than that.
Of course, you're lucky if you see them at all, because their camouflage is so brilliant that, you know, they just blend in, don't they? You walk right by them, you wouldn't know.
Oh, that's right. I put my hand on a stump and then looked again, and there was one right next to it. So my observation skills were probably lacking that day. But... the frogs you're hearing at the moment are common froglets, and only male frogs call. And each frog species calls at a different frequency, and the females can only hear the males calling in a particular frequency range. So you've only got one species calling at the moment. There's about four species here normally, but that's only one you can hear now.
All all of those little voices are just the blokes?
Yes, just males.
That's incredible. And so do they generally have a population that's equal, the males to females?
Yeah, roughly. It does vary, but roughly 50-50.
Crikey, so there's double that amount. Wait, yeah. we'll get a bit of the sound. Oh, there'd have to be, how many you reckon?
Certainly hundreds. Just scattered along an area probably of about, 50, 60 metres. They're concentrated predominantly just in front of us.
And if you were lucky enough to see one, what would they look like?
Oh, they're only a small frog about, 10 or 12 centimetres long. Uniform brown underneath, black and white on the belly. But they vary a lot in colour. So it's hard to distinguish them just from colour, but the call's the thing that gives them away. And sometimes you'll get the spotted marsh frog. They make a clicking sound. And, of course, the eastern banjo frog, which is like, bob, 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 you know, people call them bullfrogs, which they're not.
Tony Conaman. Jess Fuller-Smith and I walk on, and after looking at the base of bins and looking for scats on the top of walls, Jess is craning her neck upwards, looking into trees.
So we've just come to a beautiful big gum tree, and I've got the torch out with the red filter on it, and I'm using the torch to paint the branches of the tree up and down to see if we can spot any possums up in these trees. We've got two types of possums here in Tassie, the brush-tail possum and ring-tail possum. And the ringtails might build a dray or their own possum nest. So for the people living fairly close to Waterworks Reserve, they're very familiar with the possums. They'll often get them on their roofs and in their fruit trees. But for people visiting Hobart, it's really great to be able to see these possums. And we are right now looking at a brush-tail possum, a mum, with a baby brush-tail on its back, just walking along the ground in front of us here. We're only about 4 metres away from these possums, and they've just stopped to have a little look at us here. And again, that's a big baby. It is, absolutely. That's a strong mum to be carrying that baby on its back. So we know that this one's a brush-tail possum because it has a really dark, thick tail.
Indeed, the whole possum is very dark compared to the possums you might see that are brush-tails on the mainland.
Ah, okay, and we do find that with a lot of animals in Tasmania. They do vary from their mainland counterparts. They might be bigger or the echidnas are a little bit furrier, less spiky, so we do see that often with our animals.
And even though we're sort of in spring, moving into summer at this point of recording, she is very fluffy. She's very furred, isn't she? She is really ready for anything that could happen.
Absolutely well prepared. And we've had some fire ban days recently, but the evening of a total fire ban, we then had snow forecast for Kunyani, Mount Wellington. So they need to be prepared for any season, any weather at any time.
Now, she's just topped the rise and gone out of view. You think that she'll go up one of those trees, do you?
I think so. Should we continue on and we follow her again?
We'll just go up a bit so we can keep an eye on her. So now the sky is going that deep royal blue that's not quite black. So when you look up, the trees make beautiful silhouettes against the blue sky with stars coming out now and Mount Wellington behind us. And was that a bat that just flew past?
That may well have been, if you just saw a little dark streak,
little dark
really
streak.
Fast. Absolutely, yeah, that could well have been a bat. We'll get our bat on back out and see if we can capture any of their calls. Bat on, or bat phone, as we like to call
the
them.
The bat phone. Kids.
They can chat to the bats by putting these bat detectors out. So we're actually hearing some bat calls right now. We're looking up into an open patch of sky. We can't actually see any bats, but So we just had one of these micro bats putting on a bit of a performance in front of us here, flying around. We're now in a fairly open area, just above one of the reservoirs here. So possibly it's out finding some bugs above the water.
They're incredible movers, aren't they? They can turn almost on a dime. They zoom around in beautiful arcs, zeroing in on their prey.
Absolutely. So we could just hear a few bats through this bat detector. We can hear them again now.
Because it's so dark now. They have to fly into open sky for us to actually perceive them, because against the trees now it's just a dark mass until you reach up to where the stars are now visible, and that's where you might see a glimpse of a bat.
So we've caught a couple of glimpses, but from what we can hear through this bat detector, there's definitely plenty of bats around at the moment, which is really nice to hear. Which just goes to show that there must be so much wildlife around us that we're just not aware of. We've been lucky to see some possums and some wallabies, but there's so much else out there hiding away from us this evening.
Waterworks Reserve backs onto Mount Wellington, Kunyani, and I recommend a visit next time you're in Hobart. Thank you to Jess Fuller-Smith from the Hobart City Council for showing me around, and also thank you to this tawny frogmouth for singing to me so sweetly. This is Off Track on RN. My name is Anne Jones, and I'll meet you here at the same time next week. I'll be ready to take you somewhere else.